dear friends, with all this lockdown, I'm so glad to be able to be speaking to you and also to unlock for you the readings we've got for this Sunday, this fifth Sunday of Lent. Because few, if any of us at the start of the year, would have predicted that before the end of the first quarter of that year, things would be as they are today. Not even as Lent began did we think there would be no normal celebrations of Holy Week and Easter when we published our Lent leaflet for you all. And yet here we are in lockdown. But as ever, the scriptures have much to nourish and feed our minds and hearts, as daily they are given to us by the Church. And do notice as you listen to them or read them for yourselves how very human they are, speaking to us very much in today's human situation. Ezekiel, in that first reading, sets the scene, a scene many of us know from the Negro spiritual based on the Valley of the Dry Bones. If you can, with more time in your hands, read the whole of Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 14. We only get a section of it, the last section today. The prophet sees himself in a valley full of bones of the dead. God tells him to call on the Ruah, that's the Hebrew for wind, breath, and spirit, both human and divine, to restore the bodies of the dead and bring them to life. The people of Ezekiel's time were shattered by the Babylonian conquest and exile. We're, of course, shattered by what's going on with the coronavirus. The last verse, you will know that I am the Lord, have said and done this, is very powerful. That powerful image we can speak again whenever our faith in God's life-giving power grows weak. And then the psalm expresses the human need for God's grace and forgiveness, and also praying, interceding for the people. Think of this psalm as the silent prayer of the bones of Ezekiel's vision. This is why the Church traditionally uses this psalm to pray on behalf of the faithful departed. Just think and pray for all those at the moment dying around the world. St. Paul, in our second reading to the Romans, gives plenty to reflect on as the present emergency raising many questions lifts us to a higher spiritual level, and the Lenten theme of baptism and incorporation into Christ in the Easter mystery. This whole chapter is about life in the Spirit and the joy and confidence it brings. Paul does acknowledge we are still subject to the natural laws of decline and death, which coronavirus now focuses our minds. But Christ's resurrection from the dead has brought a new principle of life into the world, which is ours forever, if we accept his offer of faith and his Spirit and become his sons and daughters of the Father with and in him. We pray for those around the world preparing for the Easter sacraments, even though they may not be able to take part in them, and for renewal of our own vows at Easter. In a way, Paul's appeal in this whole section is summed up at every Mass by the words, "Lift up your hearts, sursum corda." All that leads to the third of the great wonderful, if long, gospel readings from St. John that have each year in the year of A in Lent. Think again of how very human they are, giving up a close-up picture of all the people involved and the very human Jesus. I imagine the two main people we met in the last 2 weeks' stories had no idea who they were going to meet and what would then happen in their lives. Remember that initial meeting of the woman at the well? Shocked by this tired, weary, thirsty Jewish man who asked her, a woman, and a Samaritan at that, for a drink. Or the man born blind, who had no real idea who the person was who mixed mud and spittle and made him see. A man called Jesus, he said. Both were led to a faith in Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ, as the Son of Man, and believed and worshipped him. Lazarus, of course, did know Jesus, and Lazarus was ill. As in the two previous weeks, today's story has deeper levels of meaning than that of the mere sequence of events. Nowhere does even John's Gospel stress Jesus' full humanity and human love more. Yet nowhere equally does it reveal his divine power so brilliantly. And irony is never lost on John. For as the raising of Lazarus was the last great public sign given by Jesus, it was the decisive sign for the rejection or acceptance of faith in Jesus. Because he's working all these miraculous signs, the Jewish leaders made the decision that he would have to be killed. The irony, because of his power over life, Jesus was sentenced to death. Restoring the dead to life was a miracle also associated with Elijah and Elisha in the Old Testament and with Peter and Paul in the Acts of the Apostles. What happened in all these instances was not resurrection, but resuscitation from the dead. This means coming back to the same form of life. Resurrection is not coming back, but going forward to a new level of life beyond death. Jesus is that resurrection and that life. Notice little things, like Jesus stays where he is for 2 days, only moving on the third day. As we say in the Creed, on the third day he rose again from the dead. Christ's other actions are humanly mysterious. Why did he delay until Lazarus was dead, if he loved this family so much? His explanation, echoing last week's theme of light and darkness, is equally mysterious. Jesus is supremely free and makes his own decisions. The sisters have faith, and Jesus responds to it, as he does to us, in ways delicately suited to their different characters as ours. To the practical Martha, he gives teaching. With Mary, he weeps in wordless sympathy. Jesus wept. As the story moves to its amazing climax, we are invited to believe that as God really raised his son to new life, so he gave the son power to do so for others, and this is his plan for us also. The story is a model of our faith in the resurrection promised to all by Christ. The 7 signs of Jesus in John's Gospel are all essential, one way or another, to human life. The 3 of these weeks, water, life, and light, or water, light, and life, itself lead us through the next 2 weeks of passion, death, and resurrection to the full glory of God.